All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Just a Girl from Cleveland. The football season is officially over. The depression is setting in from the lack of football that will be on our television screens for the next few months, which is always really sad. It kind of hits hard after the Super Bowl that it's the off season. And yes, of course, we have basketball, and then in the summer we'll have baseball, but there really is nothing quite like the feeling that football season gives you. Just, you can feel it in the air. It's a different sport than everything else in the way that it makes you feel and the way that fans rally around it. So it's always really kind of hard and sad to see it end, but I think it'll be an exciting off season in the sense that, one, the Browns do not have to blow everything up. We're just looking to make some minor changes, especially defensively, as I talked about on some recent episodes. That's obviously going to be our main priority going into this offseason, free agency, the draft, and whatnot. But no major moves, fingers crossed, coming our way. There will be, though, certainly throughout the league. You have a lot of quarterback movement happening at the moment, just Deshaun Watson asking for a trade. Lots going on, so we'll see what happens. We'll keep our eye on it. I don't know if I've ever seen so much movement at the quarterback position with, I guess, well-known star quarterbacks, but Deshaun Watson, obviously, massive name, top quarterback in the league, so it's interesting to watch what's going to happen with him asking for a trade from the Texans. So we'll keep our eyes out, we'll keep going, but I do want to get into a couple of things before I get into the Super Bowl specifically. Which there isn't even that much to say about the Super Bowl this year, quite frankly. It was not that exciting of a game. But just some general thoughts I had from the NFL season overall, some things that stood out to me, really. One being the percentage of missed extra points this year. It felt like nearly every single game you watched, at least one of the kickers missed an extra point. And obviously, they made that rule change where they moved the line back for where you kick the extra points. And I kind of love that that has happened because it makes it more interesting. It doesn't make it just an easy point that you get to put on the board after you score a touchdown. It makes the game almost more competitive in a way, because if you miss one, that changes things and that changes the point spread of what you have to do in that game. So I think it's been great. They've only made a little bit less than 93% of the kicks this season. Denver and the New York Jets both had 83% extra point conversion rate, which is, that's crazy low. I mean, when you think about how many extra points are kicked, it's kind of concerning, but it does keep the game more exciting. It makes the kicker a more relevant player in the game, other than field goals, obviously always relevant, but it makes that extra point more relevant, which is exciting. And I think that the league should always be looking for ways to make the game more exciting and interesting and competitive. So I've actually enjoyed the fact that more teams are missing, except when Cody Parkey misses. That is absolutely unacceptable and not okay. Okay, moving on. So going to talk a little NBA here. So the current state of the Cleveland Cavaliers, it has been a little bit of a roller coaster of the season, of a season, to be honest. I think that they've had some really bright moments. You look at those couple of games back-to-back against the Nets where we just completely dominated them, and I know they were kind of figuring themselves out and finding their way, the Nets were, as a team, but we truly played great basketball, Colin Sexton having a 40-point game. We looked really good, and we've had bright moments like that. And then we've had some not-so-bright moments, like these two losses to the Bucks we just had here. The first one wasn't quite as bad, because I actually do think we played them well in the first three quarters of the game. That fourth quarter, we just kind of lost it. And then the second game was not very pretty. So we have our moments, but it is telling when you play some of those top teams in the league, like the Bucks. You need to play them well, and we were not able to finish those games. So still riding in the middle of the pack of the Eastern Conference, which is not a horrible place to be. It's better than we've been in some recent years since LeBron left. So I will definitely take it. I love the way they play, though. The hustle is amazing, especially the hustle on defense. It's just a struggle sometimes offensively when we are not making our shots. There were two games in a row where we only made 4 3-pointers in each of those games, which is completely unacceptable in today's NBA. You cannot be making only 4 3-pointers in a game, or you are going to lose every single game, because that is how today's game is played, and you just can't keep up if you're not putting those 3-pointers on the board. So it'll be interesting to see as we move along here and they kind of work through All-Star Week and the second half of the season. But it's been fun to watch so far. I truly enjoy seeing them hustle out there on the court. A lot of young guys, a lot of potential, a lot of good ball movement when they are playing well. It's really great to see. So hopefully we can keep it up. Like I said, we're getting close here to moving into the All-Star break, and there have been some comments from a couple players in the league, including LeBron James, that it's really kind of a slap in the face that they've put this All-Star game in Atlanta, when originally the agreement before the season was that they were not going to have an All-Star game in an All-Star week, and that's kind of since changed. And to be honest, I totally get where the players are coming from on this one. I am very much on their side. It seems a little bit silly that in the year of COVID and the pandemic and just the precautions that teams have to take to make sure that their players are staying healthy and not testing positive, because that obviously throws a lot of things off on their teams. And you're just going to bring all of the best players in the league to Atlanta, a city that's been pretty open in general during the pandemic, and risk the possibility that all of the best players in the league could get COVID and bring it back to their teams. It just seems a little bit silly. And I think LeBron made a good point too, that, you know, he had the shortest offseason he's ever had this year since everything from last year got pushed back due to COVID. And he was really hoping that he would have this time to heal and rest up a little bit, rather than having to fly to Atlanta, play a game that doesn't really mean anything, and then rejoin his team again without having any sort of break or time to heal at all. So I totally get that, because he was expecting to have that going into the season. It would be different if this was an agreement that they had all come to, but, you know, the Players Association felt like they could agree to what was set ahead of time. So I am totally on the side of the players with this one. I do think it's a slap in the face. I'm not sure why they're trying to have it, if it's just for money or what reason, but I don't think it makes any sense at all. And I'm curious to see if they do have maybe a last minute cancellation, because I think that's, it's a lot on these players, and I know they make a ton of money, but it's a lot to ask for them to do this right now and potentially hurt their teams going into the second half of the season. So we will see what happens. Next up, I would like to talk about the NFL awards, where the man, the myth, the legend, Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year. Truly could not think of anyone that was more deserving of that award than Kevin Stefanski and the job that he's done with the Cleveland Browns this year. And in classic Kevin Stefanski fashion, his thank you acceptance speech, which was virtual, was basically giving every single other person credit except for himself for winning Coach of the Year. All the, you know, the great coaching staff that he has at the Browns, all the players playing so well that allowed him to win this award. Just the most humble guy ever. He truly can never take credit or ownership of anything, because he always wants to make sure he's calling out his guys. He's calling out his other coaches on the work that they do, which is one of the things we all really love about him. But it was so awesome to see that he won that award. I got nervous at the last second when I was watching it that they were not going to give it to him. But luckily it worked out and he got what he absolutely deserved. So congratulations to Kevin Stefanski. A couple other awards I wanted to mention. Aaron Rodgers winning the MVP, but more interestingly, he also subtly announced that he is engaged, which it just came out about 2 weeks ago, maybe, that he was dating Shailene Woodley, and now suddenly we receive news from him directly that they are engaged, which is wild. He subtly threw it in there in his speech saying it's been, you know, a crazy year, you have the pandemic, getting engaged, and I was like, wait, what? What did he just say? And then, you know, a couple seconds later in his speech, he threw in the fiance word, and I was like, all right, I definitely heard that right. Aaron Rodgers is engaged. Big congrats to him. What a way to announce it. I think he threw everyone off. I did not listen to the rest of his speech because I was so confused and thought I missed something when he was giving that speech, but well deserved, and congrats to him. Alex Smith winning Comeback Player of the Year. Probably in the history of the award, the most well-deserving human being to win that award. What the travesty is, though, is that Big Ben got one vote for that. And I would like whoever put Big Ben's name down over Alex Smith for that award to never have a career again. They just don't deserve it because I don't know how you look at their two situations and not give Alex Smith that award. It is incredible that he is able to play football again. Quite honestly, when you look at his injury and how terrifying it was, like, people thought he could have died. It was a really terrifying injury. So to not just heal, but come back and play football again is an absolute miracle. And he is one of the most brave human beings I've ever seen in my life. If I was in that position, I certainly would never play football again solely out of fear of injury or having something horrible happen again and just being afraid. And it's probably just my personality, but I don't know if I could do it. And I think it's incredible what he was able to do in healing himself and really with the support of his family behind him and coming back and playing again. That award should be named after him because it is incredible. And whoever voted for Big Ben, like I said, should not have a career in anything sports related because they make horrible decisions. That is just absolutely insane. Another award, Chase Young, he won Defensive Rookie of the Year. Go Buckeyes. And interestingly, four of the last five Defensive Rookies of the Year have been Buckeyes. You have Joey Bosa, Marshawn Lattimore, Nick Bosa, and Chase Young, which is awesome and shows that Ohio State is still just continuously producing top-tier talent, especially defensively. I mean, that proves it alone, but over the years, we've definitely had some star defensive players that go in the first round of the draft and really do end up proving themselves to be top-tier NFL talent, which is exciting and probably one of the best recruiting tools you could show to a high school kid who's deciding where he wants to go. Show him the list of the Defensive Rookies of the Year and those Ohio State players who have gone on to be so successful in their professional careers. I think that would convince anyone. I know it would convince me that is the place you need to be. So shout out to Chase Young. I will always root for him. I think he is a great guy, great competitor, a lot of fun to watch. And I think we're going to get a lot of good years out of him on that field. So the last thing I wanted to talk about from the NFL awards was the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it wasn't the same as typical years where David Baker knocks on the doors of the players in a hotel room because of COVID. They were not flying everyone out to a hotel room, which totally makes sense. They ended up having David Baker specifically fly to those people and either surprise them at their house, or I know Peyton Manning was recording something on a field, and that's where he was surprised with David Baker letting him know that he was going to be in the Hall of Fame. And every single time someone is told that they are going to be a Hall of Famer, I get so choked up. It is one of the most beautiful moments in all of sports. I love it. You can tell that it means so much to those guys. And even if they told themselves that they were happy with their career and that they didn't need any validation or recognition at that level, you can tell that it just hits them like a ton of bricks when they see Mr. Baker and they see him saying, "Thank you for all that you've done for the game." It's really, really amazing to watch the emotion that comes over them and their families, and that their life's work was really worth something and is going to be commemorated forever in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I think it's one of the most special things in sports. I used to intern at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and I can say firsthand that it's a really beautiful place. Just the way they honor those who have played the game and have been the best at what they do. It's an incredible place. And so I just love watching those videos every year. I start crying while watching them. But the only unfortunate thing when watching it this year was that Clay Matthews did not get into the Hall of Fame. So it was his last year that he would be eligible as a modern era player. I'm not quite sure how it works for the older, like, you know, legacy players, on if he has to like wait a couple more years to be eligible for that. I don't, or if he's eligible right now, like next season he could get in as, you know, that other category. But it was really sad that he didn't get in. His numbers were outstanding in his career. A lot of people felt like he should, especially in comparison to other players from his era who he had better stats than during that time. So it was unfortunate to see, and I think it would have been really exciting to have another Cleveland Brown go into the Hall of Fame, but it is what it is. There's not many guys who get inducted every year. It's a small group, and every time you hear David Baker say, I think it's 300 and some people are in the Hall of Fame, when you think about the enormity of that statement, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people who have played football at the professional level. At any level, there are millions of people who have played football, and to be in that small group of people is not an easy task. And unfortunately, there's just not enough room each year for all the players that you think deserve it. So it was a bummer to see that he didn't get in, but hopefully he can get in as, you know, the other category that is not the modern era players. All right. So one last thing, actually, before I get into the Super Bowl. They have announced the very, very early power rankings for the 2021 NFL season, which it's always funny when anyone releases rankings this early because there's so much that's going to happen in the NFL draft, in free agency, in the offseason regarding, you know, injuries. Those things obviously can greatly affect teams if star players end up getting injured, knock on wood. But there's so much that's going to happen in the next few months that these rankings will change quite a bit. But the Browns did start off at number 7 in these early power rankings, which I think is a reasonable place to be. Some people were complaining that they thought the Browns should be higher. I, for one, never want us to start high because I think we play better when the expectations for us are either low or realistic. I do not want high expectations on the Browns because I think we do better when there is just not the same kind of pressure and expectations that people think we're going to be the best. That's what we experienced 2 years ago in Baker's second year. We had, you know, OBJ. There was all this excitement around what the Browns were going to be, and we weren't able to live up to it that season. And I think part of the reason we were able to be so successful this season, other than, you know, Kevin Stefanski coming in and really forming something great, and just everyone getting more comfortable playing together, Baker getting more comfortable with his receivers, just everyone being better at what they do in general. I do think that, you know, someone like Baker and a lot of these guys in Cleveland play a lot better when people don't think they're going to be the best team, and when people doubt what they're capable of doing. So I am very much comfortable with 7 in the power rankings. I think it's realistic for where we're at. We'll see what changes we can make defensively, like I mentioned, but very comfortable with number 7. I believe the Chiefs are the early odds for next year, which isn't super surprising, but never doubt Tom Brady. That's one thing we've learned this year, which leads me right into discussing the Super Bowl from this year. Pretty boring game overall, if I'm being totally honest. I think most people felt that way, especially because the expectations were so high of this Mahomes-Brady matchup that everyone was looking forward to seeing, the old guy against the new guy, and the Chiefs just really did not live up to expectations. First of all, Tom Brady is just, he's insane. I mean, I know he didn't have to play some spectacular game because the Bucs defense was incredible and they were really not allowing the Chiefs offense to do anything that they've done for the entire season, which it was unexpected because the Bucs did not have that kind of defense for, I would say, the first 3/4 of the season, and they really just hit their stride at the end of the season and then going into the playoffs. It was super impressive what they were able to do there, and that really obviously helped Tom Brady because he did not have to play, you know, comeback football, which we know he can do that as well, but he didn't have to do anything crazy. He just had to, you know, put points on the board, do what he had to do, take care of business on offense, and the defense just handled things so well. The Chiefs couldn't do anything. I mean, I don't really blame it on Patrick Mahomes at all. I've seen some crazy takes out there of things being blamed on Patrick Mahomes, and I think he was the only reason they were able to, like, get anything going. I mean, he tried to make the best out of a lot of plays, tried to get some throws out there when he had nearly no time at all to do anything or make a play out of something. So I don't really blame him for it. I think the Chiefs, you know, had some mistakes in other areas. One of the craziest parts of the game, though, Gronk scoring 2 touchdowns. Wild. It's just like, can't believe that he and Tom Brady are still connecting like that in the year 2021. It's insane to see. It feels like it's a decade ago, and that should not be happening now. Other crazy things, Streaker on the field, very exciting. One of the highlights of the game, I would say, in my opinion. We had the Weeknd halftime show. It was just all right for me. I like the Weeknd. I don't necessarily have a problem with the Weeknd himself, but I just didn't find the performance all that exciting. I wish more of it was down on the field because I enjoy when they have all those dancers out there down on the field, so I wish it was more of that, but still, I liked all of the songs. It was a good performance. I'm still hoping for Taylor Swift next year. I think she would be a great halftime show, so that's my bet. If I could put any money on a future Super Bowl halftime performance. And the one other thing I wanted to touch on from the Super Bowl is Patrick Mahomes' family. So I have very mixed feelings on families speaking out and being vocal about their family member who is the professional athlete. It's kind of like, it's similar to Ayesha Curry back in the Warriors-Cavs finals days when she was, you know, tweeting and complaining about the refs and how it was rigged for money or ratings and just really kind of running her mouth. It was a little bit similar to what Patrick Mahomes' fiance was doing. Also, Patrick Mahomes' mother tweets quite a bit as well and had some things to say about the refs. And look, I get it. I know it's frustrating when refs are calling things that don't feel right to you and don't sit right with you. I know that very well from the Chiefs-Browns game and how those calls still really stick with me. But at the end of the day, this was not a close game. The Chiefs got outplayed. So I think it's tough to see them kind of running their mouths on social media acting like everyone is disrespecting the Chiefs and Patrick specifically. I think there was one moment when ESPN and SportsCenter just literally tweeted a picture of Patrick, and you had his fiance freaking out saying, "Oh, you wouldn't do this to Tom Brady," when it was literally just a picture. Like, they had tweeted other pictures of Tom Brady as well. It wasn't anything bad, wasn't anything crazy. I feel like they were thinking somehow everyone was against them, and I wasn't quite understanding it. I really hate to talk about the families of players too, because I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I know it's hard. I don't know, because I've never been in that position, but I am sure it is hard to see everyone talking about your loved one, and that you get angry at moments and you feel a lot of things, but you gotta bite your tongue at some point. I think they need to take a lesson from Savannah James, because she has done so incredible throughout LeBron's career, and just hanging back when, I mean, out of athletes who have gotten scrutiny, I would say LeBron would be at the top of the list of that, and she just keeps her mouth shut. And, you know, unless someone says something about one of her children, that's when she speaks up, because her children are minors and she does not want to have the media and the public saying bad things about her kids specifically. Like I said, they are literal children, so it's a little bit different. But she doesn't, I mean, the media could say whatever about LeBron and she never really has a reaction to it, which I think, to be honest, is the way you have to handle it for your own mental health, to not drive yourself crazy by getting worked up about everything that everyone is going to say. And just for your loved one who is the athlete, they probably don't want to have to deal with, you know, answering to those comments. I am sure Patrick does not want to have to answer for his mom and his fiance's tweets. I feel like that is probably frustrating for him. And he is a grown man and he can handle himself. And I don't think he needs them doing that on social media. That would be like in your regular office job, having your parents or your wife or your fiance or husband or whoever go and like talk to your coworkers if they were being rude to you. Like, that is a weird thing to do. Sometimes you just got to hold back and let people handle themselves, let them handle their own thing. And, you know, Patrick is going to have a really long career in football. He's got a long contract with him on the Chiefs. So they are going to have to learn to bite their tongue and swallow their pride in certain moments. And it's not always going to be easy, but it's going to make their lives easier. It's going to make Patrick's life easier and just put a better light on them, because they are being criticized now for the way they were handling themselves. I know Patrick's mom tagged Giselle, Tom Brady's wife, in a tweet at one point about the refs, you know, rigging things. It's just very petty and childish behavior. And regular people can do that on Twitter, but when you are the family member of one of these superstars, you have to hold yourself to a different standard, unfortunately. So I hope that they find some peace and maybe rethink the way they're doing things, because it's not going to be pretty. And I think most people really like Patrick Mahomes overall. He's a likable guy, a likable player, and I would hate to see that change because of the way his family is acting. I mean, you have his brother doing TikTok dances too, which is a whole nother thing. Not sure how I feel about those. It's a lot. But he's also like 20 years old, so I'm like, whatever. Do what you're doing. It's fine. But yeah, it's a lot, and I hope they can maybe think through things this offseason on how they want to handle their social media presence in the future and the way they respond to people, because you just got to bite your tongue more. You just got to do it. But overall, it was a great season. Like I mentioned last episode, so, so thankful for football this year. I mean, it saved a lot of us, I think, and helped us mentally get through some really hard weeks with the pandemic. It really was a bright spot, something to look forward to every week, and I'm really grateful we had it. Excited for next season. I cannot wait to see what the Browns are able to do, trying not to put pressure on them, because like I said, I know it's never good, so I'm keeping my expectations just very calm right now. I'm not trying to get too hyped because we've got a lot of time to go and a lot is going to happen between now and then, but I am looking forward to it. That is all I have for you guys this week. Thank you so much for listening. Please continue to share with your friends, share on social media, rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. I really appreciate you all, and I will catch you on the next one.